ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio. And we have two very special guests with us today, ladies and gentlemen. They are ready and all good to go. Fantastic. So, guys, introduce yourself.
Yeah, we're hot to go. This is Miles from the MASH Project, and the woman-sounding female-type person is...
I'm Joanne. Hi there, everyone.
Yes, I have the hair, or less hair, and she has more hair.
Okay. And you've got the wider fro brobe, so you do you think maybe you're compensating for something?
Very good.
There are pictures of me on Facebook which would scare small children and makes women run down the street.
Like, it has that kind of terrified Dr. Frankenstein / Einstein sort of feel to it. So you must be an incredibly creative guy.
Einstein's a fraud.
Like I said, a creative guy.
There we go. We're all sorted.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we'll start the show like we normally do. We'll ask every guest the same question because I honestly have no idea what the answer is going to be. Tell us a little bit about who you are and what it is you do.
Well, my name is Miles, and I've been doing a thing called Bases, and I'm also a pirate radio megawatt type person, so I'm a bit of a rogue. And this very intelligent, very decent and sane, good-looking woman came up to me and said, "Hello, Miles, could you help with the MASH project," which is a project derived in Ireland for making mashed potatoes. But apparently she had a different idea.
Hi, Vinny. Well, that was Miles Johnston, by the way, and I'm Giant Summer's Girls, in case anybody needs to hear the end bit of our names there. MASH specifically was brought into being last January, 2011, that is, and it stands for, the AMMACH stands for Anomalous Mind Management Abductee Contactee Helpline, which is a bit of a mouthful. And basically what we're here to do is to try and throw light and give support to those people who are broadly known as experiencers, in the UK, there's really nothing quite like it. There have been some associations and that kind of thing, but nothing quite like this. And so in our short life, I think we might be 18 months old now, we do one-to-one interviews specifically. We try and encourage people to do that, really, to bring light to this subject, because it is an ooh-ah subject. It's huge. It goes across all kinds of fields, from health and wellness to technology to, you know, these bizarre experiences that people are having, and it's really important. But Miles has been working on his Basis series for, 15 years?
Oh, it's 1994. I think people are going to understand things in this country have been heavily suppressed by the long-running UFO groups, to the point of even the death of some of the individual researchers. So we are pushing the boundaries way out there to expose mind control and the depth of which it's gone into society through rock music, broadcasting, and the whole structural systems which control society. Does that help?
It does. Essentially, what we're talking about here is a framework of mind control, all the different ways in which your choices are gradually influenced into one way or the other, I feel, is basically mind control, which includes virtually every single institution that you could ever conceive of, you know, universities, the government, oil companies. It doesn't matter what it is. They all influence you to think in different ways. Like, how I was thinking just before the show is, like, in 1969, people allegedly went to the moon, right? And here we are in 2012, still using carburetors in our cars.
You spoke
over that one. I missed that last bit, didn't you?
Just in 1969, we went to the moon, and in 2012, we're still driving around using petrol in our cars.
Oh, I know. And look at the aeroplanes, for God's sake. What's that about? We look at our computer capability now and we're still using aeroplanes like that? Yeah, give me a break.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, by computer power becoming, you know, so overly fantastic and what have you, we'll be able to digitally build aeroplanes that will actually physically carry people at this point before they'll actually release the proper travel technology.
I've seen one of those three-dimensional printers that you can actually put your own space shuttle in there. And then you add a lot of water to it, and you stick it in a microwave, and you put your full space program. Not really.
Yeah, so it's just be like on.
But one of the people I interviewed was a guy called John Irwin, and he saw massive flying saucers in the Syrian desert in 1959 of German design. So it implies that and his mission, which was part of a secret group of people within the British military, and he was called the 16, and he was trained by a British military officer who had non-human characteristics, but that doesn't make him alien, okay? Mm. Now, pushing that little bit further back then means that the British military were involved with non-humans during World War II. So the whole Roswell thing is a sideshow.
Well, it's like there's just so much coming out at the moment. It's like everything's vying for place. It's there's a lot going on. There's a lot.
It's like too many people trying to come through a doorway at the same time. Some of them get stuck, yeah. and only a few get through. And so, I find is generally the rule. If you see one bad thing that's provable that's going on that makes you really suspicious or something like that, and it's really big or whatever, like flying saucers or massive financial scumbaggery or what have you. The actions and portents of a scumbag. And basically, yep. What it means is it's an indication of the symptomology of a very, very much deeper and much bigger problem, right? So if you see one UFO, it's kind of like cockroaches, you know? If you've seen one, there's a thousand you didn't see.
Yeah, but cockroaches are fairly good creatures that perform a useful function. I wouldn't want to associate bankers with that.
Well, of course, you know, bankers are responsible for virtually our entire society. And I was just thinking about it, you know, I actually do like the convenience and all of the stuff that I'm allowed to do. But what I don't like is the fact that all those conveniences are given to me in expense of my liberties, in expense of my privacy, in expense of my freedom. People should have availability to technology and knowledge wherever they have, and they shouldn't be tracked and traced. You know, that's the thing. You can use these technologies for real good and real benefit and accelerate humankind, and you can also use it for real detriment and real manipulative measures so that you can enslave it.
I think collectively we're dealing with the mass abuse of very sophisticated technologies and energy-derived systems which should be in the public domain.
And this has been going on for over 100 years. For God's sake, you've only got to look at Tesla. I mean, it was, 1920s that he developed the free energy? I mean, you know, that definitely... Yeah.
That's where I mentioned earlier about the fraud of Einstein. And we're always told about extraterrestrials. Well, extraterrestrials does two things. A, it focuses your mind on a three-dimensional universe. And B, takes the problem off the planet to somewhere out there. And that is completely the opposite direction. Nick Pope's boss actually admitted to me, Nick Pope's a former Ministry of Defence spokesman on UFOs that he resigned or retired a few years ago. His boss explained to me that it was a dimensional issue. And when you got reports of greys and other life forms in towns in the north of England during World War II, and the Americans dealing with it, the Germans dealing with it, and that sort of thing, we've got a much bigger problem. And one of the MASH interviewees, Kathy Morgan, has done a lot of research on mind control, which goes way back to the 1800s.
Oh, yeah. It's huge. And the ET issue is full of mind control as well, because everybody is managed. Everything is managed. And, you know, we're really trying to open the lid on that, you know, open the can on that, and let's just get in there and have a look and let's see if we can't become more consensual and have consent with this thing rather than being things done to us.
Well, I think consent requires informed consent.
Absolutely.
So everybody,
of course.
You know, we all sort of have a tendency to sort of shift the blame to somebody else due to the bankers. I think we've got to collectively, individually become responsible for ourselves and our own decisions and start actually getting informed and waking up.
Yeah.
Through great shows like yours.
Well, you know, I've come on to the conclusion that you can't wake people up. You just can't, because the people who get the idea about waking up and what have you start researching, start watching documentaries and things of that nature. So in essence, they actually have to take the initiative, and only then can they wake up. Ergo, when I speak out to an audience or something like that, I'm not trying to wake you up or anything like that. If you're listening, you're listening. It means you want to be exposed to more information that'll help perhaps set you off in different paths of research. And this is what I recommend everybody do, is have a very, very broad base of interests. That way, well, basically, you don't get tunnel visioned about things. And that way, you don't get blindsided. You know what's going on in so many different sectors.
I couldn't agree more. I think the mainstream, keep it wide, keep it informed, and don't necessarily, I mean, everybody has an interest in something more than maybe the next person. But I think that way of explaining it and doing it is absolutely the right thing to do.
Well, I mean, but you know, our AMASH may sound very, very specific, you know, to certain, you know, small groups on the planet. But actually, the reach is huge. I mean, it goes across everything in life. It really does touch everything. You know, and when you've got children having experiences, when you've got, you know, a partner having an experience and, you know, their other half doesn't want to address it, doesn't want to do anything, you know, can't deal with it, you've got huge implications societally-wise. And, you know, it is about time to recognise this. And it's huge issues on technology. It's massive.
And the medication of these active children who happen to be a little bit too alert for some adults to respond to. And this is, this goes to child abuse issues, it goes to the SS, which we have in this country called the Social Services, strange coincidence and initials there. And the way that there's been a report out in the UK where children and young adults are grossly under-medicated, which means they want to put more drugs in them and shut them down.
Yeah, well, you know, if anything is good for a child who is missing his father and things like that, it's a cocaine-like substance, you know, that'll put him right.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we've actually got, in the UK, we've got a lady on the run with her five-year-old. This is dead serious. This has been happening. This happened a couple of weeks ago. Because they wanted to medicate, to vaccinate her child. The partner wanted that done. They're not together. She said no. She'd done the research. She said no, I'm making a judgment, a value judgment here. No, no, we can't do it. And this went to court. There's a judge demanding that the child looking well, and so she's on the run. This is outrageous.
One of my YouTube videos with Dr. Rani Kildo had hit 3 million hits, and I interviewed her, and she was the former chief medical officer of Finland, and she was absolutely against this swine flu pandemic inoculation and managed to get it stopped in some of the northern European countries. But because the EU was about to launch a full-scale investigation into how they'd been conned by the World Health Organization into buying all this stock for a pandemic that never happened, they were contracted to buy second doses of this stuff. That was pulled off YouTube.
That sounds like the World Stealth Organization.
Yeah, absolutely.
But if you see Jane
Burgermeister.
Yeah, I know Jane.
Yeah,
I mean, she's now putting out some warnings that they're now powering up for another enforced inoculation.
Yeah, in New Zealand now, the government is now paying people to approach people's children on Facebook and convince them to take vaccines.
That is evil.
With the nanotechnology that employs, they determined, this is one of the witnesses that we interviewed who came up with some pretty graphic stuff. And we've actually had to slightly sort of hold off on that interview because it's so really shocking. But they are targeting genetic and blood group sectors within society who could possibly wake up or get a signal telepathically out of the solar system. One of the things we find out that remote viewers are being blocked from accessing, just looking at the satellites used in our everyday transmissions.
Let me guess. Let me guess, all the people that they're looking through to vaccinate to prevent them from being able to wake up are the unvaccinated people.
Yes, you are the unvaccinated. But the thing which gets me about this is that collectively the mind control of, and thereby I have a term called reality management. Because if you're able to control human consciousness, you are able to directly engineer the so-called reality that we have.
Well, we have the music coming up right now, and the reality is we've got to pay the bills, so we'll be right back in just a few minutes, ladies and gentlemen, at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com. You can also join us in the chat room there. Also, check out the YouTube channel, Mr. News Guerrilla Media. There's a lot of interesting videos and interviews on there, too. We'll be right back in about 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. 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 Congratulations. You made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo. But I'm here now. So what you wanna do? How many dudes you really know? Can flow. Like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any, not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check, the mic check. 1, 2 from a crew coming through. Welcome back, check. Ladies and gentlemen. Everybody wanna talk, we got someone to subscribe. Ain't got nothing when I'm to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The show that's all about scumbaggery and various other amusing things. And this is another thing. I do have a kind of a very perverted sixth sense of humour at points, and that's namely due to the nature of a lot of the stuff that gets discussed on the show and all that. A lot of the stuff that happens everywhere. You kind of have to develop a sense of humour as a form of defensive blanket so that all the darkness and crapola, which ain't your fault, doesn't pin itself onto your back and turn you into a basically dreamless, mindless automaton of depression. Trust me, I've been in that state before when you're wearing the wonderful suit and tie, and you're getting paid a lot of money, but you really hate what you do, and you just can't do it anymore. That's the point when you have to recognize that whatever it is you're doing, it doesn't make you feel right. So you have to make a decision, and make a brave decision, and make it soon, to stop what you are doing, because it is not good for you, and if it's not good for you, why are you doing it? Welcome back to my very special guests, Joanne Summerscales and Miles Johnson. And I wanted to know how exactly you guys got into this field of research. I mean, like, a lot of people have these different experiences. Like, they have this day that they realize, you know, something happened, etc., and it changed my whole life, and I started to go in different directions. And whereas other people, it's just like, well, I was just always raised that way, and it always kind of came sort of naturally to me, and it wasn't really a big adjustment, and it was just natural progression. What would you say?
I can go with the natural progression because it came out of an interest in sort of, you know, human consciousness and what that's about. And then I've always been on the fringe of everything, of health and wellness and whatever. I have disability in my family, so I've always been a researcher. And then I met an amazing man called Sixto Paz-Wells, who's a Peruvian-American living in Peru, now in his 50s. And when he was 17, he was an interesting guy. He'd already at 17 been doing a bit of yoga, that kind of stuff. And he was doing a little meditation with his mum and sister and suddenly found himself impelled to do some what we'd call automatic writing or psychography, I think they might call it. And anyway, it turned out to be some guy called Oxel from one of the moons of Jupiter, Ganymedes, or Ganymede. And anyway, they arranged to meet. I mean, this guy, Oxel goes, you know, we'll meet you in the Chilka Desert. And anyway, basically they did. And, I don't think anybody was more surprised than he was as a 17-year-old lad. He took some friends along, and, of course, when the ship arrived, they just nearly peed their pants. They just
Family show.
I said Pete.
But little kids go to pee. Little kid's got it. Yeah, it's a family show.
He's a bit of a kid. But anyway, but what was interesting about that is I was quite interested in the reaction because, you know, they all kind of caught their breath and got back and the ships went and all the rest of that. And then when they communicated with him again, they said, listen, guy, we can't deal with you when you have this big emotional thing going on. You've got to calm down. You got to, you know. But these are the guys who are working with him on a conscious level. They weren't kidnapping him. He wasn't an abductee. He was basically a contactee, and I guess that's the difference. One is contact with, you know, full consciousness, and the other, the abductee, is one without the memory of that, you know, and until it bleeds through or there's some download situation, the trigger. And anyway, so Sixto, I've met him a few times, did an interview with him, and
he speaks one of these foreign languages.
Yeah, Spanish. And he's just a really special human being, very grounded, very, you know. Oh, wonderful. But that's just how, you know, and I really wanted to investigate a lot more. And then I began to hear about people more and more and more coming into my field. And anyway, down the line, I started a mash.
Started the monster mash. In fact, would you be considering that it would be a good fundraiser or something? You know, you throw a ball and it's the monster mash?
Yeah, I think that's one of the best things. Well, I got turned onto the whole thing by my physics professor, who was so absolutely, totally anti-UFO, because I was mad into space, you know, Apollo and all, showing my age. And I thought it was fantastic. It was really just brilliant. And only to find out the whole thing's a fraud. And that when the physics guy, who should be investigating and fascination with science, was just put, you know, pushing the party line, that we realize that there's a few anomalies. And it doesn't matter where you pick up the strand, it always leads to the same big mess in the middle. Banking, reality management, aliens.
Technology.
And my stuff was pirate radio, and we found out a lot of people were switching their awareness, were just coming completely on, they were just completely much more alert and aware, even becoming healers and stuff in little old Ireland. And then we discovered when the big bad government came along to take our toys away, the big bad government lost every time. So that was interesting. And that's why I'm called Megawatts, because we put 1,000,000 watts on it at Belfast. And, you know, when the FM starts behaving like AM because it goes so far, that was good fun.
Yeah. Did you cause an earthquake or make the clouds go rainbow colours too?
Well, actually, yeah, we had lots of little orbs of light and lots of sorts of things like that. But we find that any time, you know, crows or birds sort of flew anywhere near the transmitters, they sort of just dropped dead or just exploded into a thousand feet. I'm joking.
Yeah.
They like the antennas because they got this sort of warm buzzing feeling when they were sitting there.
Yeah.
But interestingly enough, all this energy stuff, the frequency, vibration, all the rest of that, it all sort of translates out to this, you know, massive field, and a lot of UFOs and, you know, are seen by energy sources, you know, substations, water, this kind of thing.
This is where we find the Tesla thing was so important, because Tesla was transmitting faster than light. And, of course, that little secret
is
being way back in the early days of power generation. But with broadcasting, we discovered an awful lot of anomalies and fairly serious things in terms of reality management, control of consciousness through broadcasting. And as a pirate, there's few people on who've been both sides of the fence, so to speak. So we called our radio station Energy 106 because the guy who asked me to build it, he got abducted by aliens. And he experienced this wonderful energy, so we called it Energy 106, and that way lasted 9 years into Belfast. So that was good fun.
Well, apparently there's a frequency that the human brain communicates on, like basically the same frequency as your thoughts. I think it's like 462 hertz or something like that. I forget what it is.
FM band was chosen for mind window properties.
Well, I saw this Jesse Ventura thing on Conspiracy Theory, and these guys, he was doing an episode on HARP, and he had these two little pads that he put on his neck, and he could hear the music through the iPod like it was in his head. Okay. So I was thinking what would be an interesting thing to do is to figure out what that frequency is and actually broadcast it on for a day in an episode of Energy 106 from inside your brain.
Oh, my God. That's synthetic telepathy. There's the iPod thing can do that. They actually got wireless headphone things that you just hear it anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff going on now.
And that's what the whole rock music thing was all about. But they get too dark.
Psychotronic weaponry, man.
My God, psychotronic. I thought that was a trick cyclist.
Apparently not.
And it's called psychotronics because the original name is banned in America. We can use it. It's a form. We can do it here. But we can't. That's an American term because the normal term that you can do healing with using healing at a distance is banned in America. I've got one of these Royal Rife machines, and Wilhelm Reich in his 30s, and those are two different people, used in healing using scalar waves and resonant energy frequencies and things.
With great success.
With great success, but because it doesn't use drugs, ban it. Get the man, throw him in jail.
Yeah.
And then
he died in jail.
One of the things we also do is have these little orgone pyramids.
It's an orgone generator.
And it generates orgone energy, and that is a means of disrupting the toxic effects of the vector wave energy from radio transmissions, like mobile phone towers and masts and Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi being probably one of the worst we could have, because it's chosen to use the same frequencies as water vibrates in your microwave. So if you can cook with it, why not just flood everybody's home with the same kind of frequency, which will have the same long-term effect of doing your pituitary gland in, which is ultimately what they're attacking.
And of course, we've got the age of the smart meter about to be upon everybody.
It's going to Wi-Fi saturate. Now, the point that what we've discovered on a serious note is that with the vector wave transmission systems, that there's a secondary dark energy wave in there, which is a fluidic sort of energy, an intelligent energy which spreads like threads of a massive neural net, which was initially put in through the electricity supply system. So that's why they all need centrally generated electricity and don't like you using zero point energy devices which are independent of the grid. Does that make sense?
Well, that way they have control of the grid and hence control over the people, because if you can basically look at it like this, the whole idea of the New World Order is to make everybody dependent, okay, which means, ergo, that they need to wipe out any form of independence, right?
Yeah.
If you've got your own power supply, you're independent. Ergo, they don't want you to have your own power supply. If you've got your own water supply, food supply, it's any kind of supply that you have for yourself that you don't need to go through them to get, that's what they're going to try and get rid of.
And that's Codex Alimentarius in Europe. Yeah. I don't know if you've heard of that. I know when I met a lot of New Zealanders in London about 15, 20 years ago when I first joined Rupert Murdoch's Sky TV, that were fascinated by these E numbers. And now they want to have, if you grow your own vegetables, then they want to make sure that you put the right fertilizer and the right water goes into that, and to fertilize everything. So we're being totally targeted in being shut down.
Oh, we are. Well, you've only got to look at all the fluoride and stuff. Yeah. I mean, that sort of calcifies the pituitary, and that's our link with our spiritual, our higher self. And, you know, you knock that out, then we just become really, I mean, what are we then without that
connection?
But it
means ergo.
Because again, you're talking about how your connection to your higher self, that also is a form of independence that needs to be capped out and put you into a box of, I don't know, whatever religion, whatever religious order or apathy or nihilism. They have to put you into some kind of form of box that makes you dependent on something else.
So, I mean, mind control and reality management's been around a long time. Yeah. You know, the burning of witches, the getting rid of the wise men of the village, people who had any independence. I mean, St. Patrick, what he did in Ireland was unbelievable, the catastrophic stuff that happened there. So this is not a new thing.
No, and, you know, really, I tell you, we've got some of our experiences that we've spoken to us, who have had the misfortune to go and tell their story to the NHS,
That's the National Health Service.
Yes, the health service over here, and found themselves sectioned sometimes. They found themselves on drugs, not of their wanting, and they found themselves labelled as schizophrenic.
But I think probably the biggest surprise in that particular story was that the Ministry of Defence were trying to save this guy. And so there seems to be an internecine war between the civilian health services and certain elements of the Ministry of Defence who are aware of this threat and in many respects are sort of hamstrung in what they can do. And this is when we find with further research that the head of certain intelligence agencies and broadcasting institutions have got a non-human connection. And it's important that we use terms like non-human as opposed to alien. Because not everybody walking around is actually so-called human. And that's one of the other issues.
Maybe a few flavours or shades.
You know, as in Battlestar Galactica, they look like us.
Mm. I've seen the enemy and he is us. And I think that's probably one of the important lessons of life, is that no matter how bad your enemy might be, no matter what they might do to you, you can always do a heck of a lot worse to yourself. And so, basically, you're the only enemy that is under your control at all times, and you can either let yourself hurt yourself, or you can preserve yourself, preserve your own life, preserve your own mind and your heart, etc., by surrounding yourself, or at least this is what I do, with really cool and knowledgeable, friendly, nice, happy people or whatever, and they all rub off and your energy bounces off each other and it works. It's kind of like a sort of like an energy generator, like a human conversation energy generator, just by being around somebody who you think is cool and happy and talking about stuff that you actually care about can actually be very, very healthy for you. That's why a lot of people tune into the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Keep listening, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. You can join us in the chat room there. Back in a few minutes. Show. A show that boogies it down in the Schwarzenegger sense of Zivert on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And we also have like many other like wonderful radio stations and stuff that play the show and live and on rebroadcasts all around the world as well. And thank you very much, you guys, for doing so. Like also Affinity FM and Invercargill, Rush FM and Hamilton, the first New Zealand stations to pick up the show, which is good. Isn't it incidentally the tall poppy syndrome of New Zealand that you have to be picked up by an American network before a frickin' New Zealand one will?
But if the opposite is homegrown, it mustn't be credible, but if it comes from a foreign country, it must be out. Wow, gee, yeah.
Well, you're right about the credibility there, because I feel that I'm absolutely incredible.
You are. I actually have to say that a bit of advice you gave just before the break, I think it's very, very positive, because one of the things that we are dealing with, I've got my Geiger counter bleeping away here, just in case we get irradiated. but I mean, the sort of material that we're dealing with, and certainly a lot of the stuff that I've been dealing with in the Basin series over 15 odd years, and with Joanne in the last 18 months, is pretty damn, oh my God, stuff. And you do need that kind of positive attitude that you mentioned, and it's really important that if you're in an environment which is oppressive and continually pushing you down, which is what's beginning to be the case, there's sort of people like Common Purpose, other kinds of insidious agencies which are infiltrating and pulling away your individuality and pushing you down and criticizing you, forcing you into a control state.
Getting you vaccinated, getting you on this, you must do that.
And if you break away, be independent, free thinking, and enjoy life with good people, that's so, so important.
But see, there's another point to that as well, because you don't solve all your problems by joining a group either. I mean, look what happened to the Tea Party. I mean, imagine what all the Patriot UFO abductees got together and had the abductee party, and they and they started going off and protesting about aliens and all of that kind of stuff. They'd probably get infiltrated, taken over, and I'm starting to think that it's only individual bases on relationships and different little individual points that you can really free associate with anymore without having your obligations. Because what happens is once you join an organization like a political party or something like that, you're obligated to toe the party line on certain issues, and it violates your independence. Same with protest groups. Like, you can join a 9/11 group, and as soon as you start talking about particular theories about 9/11, you get hounded down and discriminated against, and so on and so forth. The whole idea of being part of a group, I've seen a real kind of like just group with terms, conditions, etc. I don't like the idea of that. I like the idea, on the other hand, of having complete, total freedom of individuals to free associate and organize however they want to, and have nobody else be able to tell anybody what party line to toe.
Occupy was a classic example of that, the Occupy movement. I went down to see them in London, and I've never seen such a well-organized, controlled body in all my life. I mean, here we are dealing with radical people who are doing radically wonderful things. They're camping out outside St. Paul's Cathedral, but they won't allow you to occupy a certain level of the building until health and safety has approved it. Could you believe that?
Yeah. Never underestimate the ability of bureaucracy to make simple things complicated.
Who needs the unions when you can have everything stopped by health and safety?
In fact, there was some food safety officers in the Northern California Organic Farmers Conference where they had all these beautiful organic meals and everything, huge tables and everything, huge farmers conference with all this natural organic produce that they'd all brought along. And then the food safety officers turned up and said, "It's not safe, you have to pour bleach on all of it and throw it away."
Who was? They didn't do that, did they?
They did! The video's on friggin' YouTube!
You can't make this stuff up.
You can't make this stuff up.
The insane asylum's being run by the insane. Bloody hell.
I mean, seriously, at what point has a potato been so friggin' dangerous that it needs bleach directly applied to it?
And they let it happen.
That's unbelievable, isn't it? Unbelievable.
Well, last question I like to ask my guests before you guys head off, because I know you're going to be on your way in about 10 minutes here. You know how we all kind of self-censor a little bit, particularly on radio? There's certain things that we won't kind of freely express because we're afraid that perhaps the host might judge us, or maybe the audience won't quite comprehend us. So, if there's anything along those veins that you'd like to say, I can assure you, this is the host who will not judge you, and this is the audience who will comprehend you.
Well, I think, really, with the dark, dark world of the fear porn that's been pushed at us everywhere through the media, it is the most important thing is to stay true to your own spirit and be independent and be critical of others and yourself, but understand and educate yourself and wake up. That's what I can say. Wake up. For instance, the 9/11 truth movement was created by the CIA, so they would immediately capture all the people who were going to suddenly say, there's something odd going on here, and control them. But fortunately, people were critical within that movement, and we did get breaking out and seeing what the truth is. I mean, when somebody told me that the whole thing was taken down by some kind of beam weapon, I thought, hey, you are absolutely nuts. And then when you understand the mechanisms behind that, you realize, hey, that could very well be the reason with what happened with that particular subject.
Yeah.
And with the subject that we at the Amash Project, we've been targeted by various people, and it targets your own feelings and emotions. And it's important to stay together with friends and understand there's our dynamics within relationships.
And also to keep, you know, as they say, a mind is like a parachute, best used when it's open. And really to keep that, because, you know, our subject matter and subject is very challenging for a lot of people. But I'm telling you, there's some really amazing human beings, really bright buttons, who are having these experiences, whatever anyone thinks of them, from wherever they think they might be, dimensional, terrestrial, extraterrestrial, whatever, and military as well. There's clearly government involvement. We're just about examining the truth, and that's what we want. At the end of the day, everything is just, let's have a look at the truth. And we've just chosen this subject because it goes across everything from technology to health and wellness to human consciousness and human origins. I mean, for goodness sake. You know, let's get real. Let's, you know, we can take it. We can take the information. We're already mature enough. So, you know.
I was thinking about this. It's like life experience, right? People think that they're going to actually best survive their life by limiting their experience.
Well, that's
crazy.
But it's true for many.
Expand your experience. See new things. Go out there. Find things. Problem solver is find the biggest, most difficult problem of the day and tackle that first. If you keep pushing it off, the whole day just keeps worse and worse and worse, because you're never going to really get that problem.
It's normally finding the coffee, though, isn't it?
Well, the organic coffee, you know, that's been seeded with the feet of virgins.
Seeded with the feet of virgins, just like David Rockefeller does.
That's it. And it just go and see the world, and that's one of the great things that you find with New Zealanders. They always end up in this country because they go out and explore, and that's a wonderful attitude.
Well, and it's also because the tall poppy syndrome in New Zealand means that if you want to make something of yourself in this world as a New Zealander, it's virtually impossible to do it in this country. But New Zealanders find success very often abroad. And I was blessed with the criminal conviction, so I wasn't able to travel. But conveniently, I'm in America 5 times a week and all around the world anyway.
Yay!
Oh my God! You mean you reversed the car and didn't have 2 taillights or something? But we won't go there.
No, it's more like selling marijuana in order to support my habit of being a student.
Oh my God! I mean, purely for medicinal and holistic mind expansion. Problem.
No, no. Well, actually, it was purely for the marijuana truth movement and trying to encourage people to do it and whatever. But it's a longer story, which we don't have time for. But we do have time for you to quickly plug your websites before we go to a break. And
yes, we're amash.co.uk.
Sorry, what
was
that?
AMACH.
www.amash.co.uk.
And I'm Megawatts1066 on YouTube, where we have the long event. We've got the full length interviews on YouTube, and I'm undergroundvideouk.com, and I'm a pirate.
And we've got lots of interesting interviews coming up with interviewers and with meetings that we hold. And we do our regular updates as well. And we've got a conference coming in the UK, 31st of August to the 2nd.
And we're looking for fast funding to start a global meeting network. Get the message out. Just thank you. God bless.
Right, so go to Amash, or just search Amash, ladies and gentlemen. Also, because if you search people's website names and things like that in the website browsers, they wind up appearing more for search terms for other people as well. So support Amash by going and searching for it on any one of these CIA, NSA networks so that they know about them too. Now, all right, thanks, guys, for coming on the show today. It's been riveting, fabulous, and I hope to bring you on again sometime.
Catch you later, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll be right back next hour with more of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Check the labels, delete the virus, alert the masses.
divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. You're the sweetest honey from the honeybee. Unity.
Welcome to hour number two of the Vinnie Eastwood Show, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, Ifinity FM in Invercargill, and a couple of other southern places as well, apparently, and Hamilton, Rush FM, my man Roy. Dang, he's good at his job. Now, what I also wanted to talk about today is basically a quick capsule of what I've been up to in the last 2 weeks. Namely, nothing. Okay. I am recharged. I am refreshed. Due in no small part to my own forethought, thinking to myself, man, I'm going to burn out pretty soon if I don't take some time off and in order to recharge the batteries and recuperate and what have you. So I did. And in this age of technology, of distraction, of beeps, reminders, emails, etc., it becomes incredibly difficult to avoid all of those things and actually recharge your batteries because you've always got something popping up at you, flashing up at you, etc. And so a lot of people just go, you know what? I'm not going to get a Facebook. I'm not going to get Skype. I'm not going to get blah, 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 blah. Everything's going to come at me, etc. While true, you can also just turn your Skype off, turn your email off, not sign into Facebook, turn the ringer off of your landline, turn your cell phone to silent, etc. And then if you feel like doing any communicating or whatever, you can. But I'd suggest not. But to do this for occasional periods of time, as is best suitable for you. Okay? I think that what we've done in a lot of society is take away people's downtime, haven't we? And as an activist or a truther or somebody in my position, at least, the job does not go away on the weekends. It does not fade away after 5 p.m. It does not let you take holidays or Christmas off or anything like that. It's always there, whether it's in front of you, back of your mind, or even when you're trying to relax and watch some television or some movies or something like that. You say, oh, Sonic 4, my Sonic 4, all seeing eye pyramid, there you go. And you're back into it again, okay? It's an all-encompassing career path. It's something that does affect everything quite literally in every single way. Everything is literally built on conspiracy. There is no denying it if you have looked at the facts. But there's plenty of denying it if you refuse to look at the facts, on the other hand. And majority of people, that's what they do. I look at the fact like this. You can be more effective if you're well-rested. Mm-hmm. Yep. Sounds pretty straightforward, doesn't it? So, do you stay up all night arguing with people on the internet because they're wrong? No, it's not a good idea generally. It's a waste of your time. I mean, you might get a little bit of practicing into your argumentative skills and what have you, but it'd actually be much better if you were arguing with somebody in person on the street or whatever and really learn something about their body language and how to interact with people on a face-to-face basis. Okay? There's no risk involved when you're chatting with somebody online. What are they going to do? You know? Is somebody going to reach through your computer screen like the lawnmower man and smash your head into the faceplate? No, it's not going to happen. So, ergo, when people are commenting on YouTube and Facebook and things of that nature, and they're not actually interacting with real people who are right in front of them, they can come up with a witty repartee, etc., and reply to you. When you're not reading somebody's tone of voice, and instead you're trying to imagine their tone of voice based upon what they're saying to you in your YouTube comments, which for the majority of the time, and I'm starting to think that this actually might be the case. I'm not 100% sure. I haven't actually weighed it all up, but anybody who goes on YouTube and has a look at the comment sections knows they are loaded, and I'm not kidding here, loaded here with the most obscene, vile, accusatory, moronic, and absolutely detrimental, profane, defamatory, scum, crap comments that you could ever conceive of in your living existence. They're all over my videos, man. All over them. From these mind-sucking schism fracks who don't care about the truth, don't want to listen to anybody's real opinion, and essentially is only there like a bully in high school trying to get a rise out of you for their own enjoyment. Solution to this, blog! And you never hear from that person again. They might have to create a different account, but that requires setting up another email. That's a whole bunch of effort just so that they can reply to you. And then you go, blog again! And it frustrates them even more. And most of them won't even try the second time, but if they do, blog, and you've wasted even more of their time with minimal of yours. See, abusive people are really easy to avoid. You just don't give them anything. Take from them what they want to take from you. Show them who's fracking boss. This job, being an activist, is a full-time job. Being a patriot, trying to ensure that your country is not taken over by extremely horrific, vile scumbaggery is a full-time job. Anybody who says different is trying to sell something. This is not something that you have to come into taking it lightly. I mean, I take it very lightly, more lightly than most. And maybe that's just a focal denial on my point, trying to not deal with the fact that I'm really, really slogging it out and struggling to survive, right? Maybe that's why I'm so jovial. But point of fact is, if you want to be effective, make sure you take some rest every now and again. Otherwise, you ain't going to be doing anything. Normal job, you get to at least switch off from your job. Sometimes nowadays people are bringing home their Blackberries or iPhones or whatever, and they're receiving emails on them from work, and they're working in off hours and they ain't getting paid for it or any stuff like that. Okay, this world is being designed, in my opinion, to keep everybody busy at all times. Okay, I was looking at my mate the other day, and he has his first day off for like 6 months or something like that. And his missus asked him to do the lawn. You see, there's no escape from it, eh? If you've got time off from your work for your employment, you then have to spend your time off that you should spend recuperating, actually cleaning up and spending your own working life and keeping things in order. There's just no end to it. Okay, there really doesn't seem to be an awful lot of time for people to kick back and relax, because even if you do make time to kick back and relax, everything looks filthy and makes you feel unrelaxed. Okay? It is a never-ending perpetual cycle. Basically, unless you've got enough coin to pay for everything without having to work for it, if it's liquid cash, passive income, you don't have to get up and out of bed at any particular time in the morning and go to do any work. You can do whatever you like, kind of thing. That, unless you're in that type of position, this world don't work for you and probably never will. And most of us will never achieve that type of financial security. And that's not even that much financial security. Okay, you talk about the rich being people with $10, $20 million or something like that. Those people aren't rich, bro. They're nothing, okay? Think about the guys who have a billion plus. Those are the people who are rich, because there's very, very few of them. All the people that are making big bucks and what have you down the line, they're just middlemen, okay? They're not the ones who are making the big scores. They're just being used just like all of us have been used by the system our entire lives. We've been used to populate their public school systems. We've been used to vaccinate all of us, and we've been used to culture viruses. We've been used to consume Coca-Cola products in every single hue of the rainbow. We've been used from day one. As soon as we needed nappies changing, boom, there was a company there that sold us nappies, owned by the New World Order complex of scumbaggery. Invariably. It's inescapable. So that kind of endless threat that is around you at all times, I don't think is entirely possible to escape from. Okay, the dread of it, the noticing, or the thinking about it. It's very difficult, unless, of course, you've got convenient distractions, something that's very, very good, right? Like going out and partying and having a good time and just chatting with people and stuff like that. I tried to do that over the holidays. You know, I went around to see my sister and her boyfriend and my mum and all of this kind of stuff. And I was like, oh, okay, great, I'm going to have a break for conspiracy theories. And they start bringing up chemtrails and the TPPA, Trans-Pacific Partnership, to me and asking me what I think about it. I was like, there's no such thing as a day off from this job, man. Yeah, I'm just trying to have my dinner here. You know, it's like being a famous clown or something like that, and you're having dinner in a restaurant, and somebody comes up to you with three juggling balls and says, "Hey, can you start juggling for me, please, so I can watch and learn?" I mean, come on. And another thing, my mate Jono, he takes me out to see a couple of his mates out at a bar on the North Shore, and they ask me what I do for a living, and I say, I'm a talk radio show host, and they go, what are you talking about? Well, mostly conspiracy theories and what happened, and he goes, oh yeah, what about chemtrails? And it's just like, oh my God, why does everybody else bring it up, man? And so I flat out told him, okay, well, let me put it this way. I was the person who helped to organize the chemtrail protest that was seen on about half a dozen street corners around Auckland the other weekend. And so naturally these guys start abusing me and calling me retards and conspiracy theorists and all of that kind of stuff. But I was remarkably cool and calm in that particular situation, and every single thing this guy was saying was a logical fallacy. So for every sentence of scorn that he threw at me, I repackaged it as him being a fool and proving with an unequivocal accuracy that he is. And throw it straight back at him and make everybody else in the group of the group of people laugh their cheeky monkeys off at him, okay? And three times in that conversation, okay, throughout the entire night, two different bars, car trips, all of that kind of stuff, three times he actually got up and left the conversation to go away and stew for a little bit. That's how much I was able to get to him on my time off without feeling any stress, any pressure, and having a big Shiite Muslim eating grin on my face. Okay? That is how on I was. Okay? And we had this big protest just the other day, the Aotearoa is not for sale protest. And of course, at the very end of my holiday, I get sick with a bad cold. And I have to go and incidentally film a bunch of submissions for the Health Select Committee about vaccinations with a deadly, deadly cold. I thought that was classic. And Catherine Smith and Jonathan Eisen from uncensored.co.nz and the New Zealand Journal of Natural Medicine, they gave me a bunch of sachets of this Life of Spheric vitamin C. You know, it's kind of like a gel sort of paste sort of stuff, you know, just put it, mix it in with water or just take it straight out of the packet. That's what I was doing, man. I didn't have really much time to mess around because I wasn't feeling too great. And sure enough, by the next day, after taking all these little things of lipospheric vitamin C, the real bad part of the cold was over. You know, the extreme fatigue and the runny nose, sort of stuff like that was all gone, and the only thing that was left was a little bit of mucus to blow or cough out, you know? So it was just like, you know what, man? What's really starting to occur to me here is that I've started to get the biggest obstacles thrown in my way at the worst possible times. You ever felt like that? And you know what's funny is that it doesn't matter that how big those obstacles are, I keep getting over them. So it gives you supreme confidence in yourself, doesn't it? It doesn't matter what gets thrown in my path, I can honor my obligations. Even though I'm still a little bit sick today, and I've got a bit of a sore throat and a bit of a blocked nose or whatever, I'm still here doing the radio show as best as I can. Now, when it comes to the protest as down Queen Street or whatever, I was basically at the back of that protest with the sore throat on a giant 100-watt megaphone talking to the crowd for the best part of 2 hours, okay? This is the kind of commitment I expect of myself, and it's the kind of commitment everybody should expect of themselves too. Granted, they have the ability, okay? If you're getting up there and you can't say anything or whatever, I'm not saying don't do it or whatever, just don't expect the world from yourself when you first start doing it. Expect reasonable outcomes. In fact, my objective is to assume the worst. Assume that everybody will take it wrong, that every joke will fall flat, and then get pleasantly surprised every single time that I'm wrong. A little bit of intellectual judo thing there. You're listening to The Vinnie Eastwood Show, and we'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. The caller lines are now open, 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Call in, and we'll be right back after the break.
There's something evolving. Whatever may come, the world keeps revolving. They say the next big thing is here, that the revolution's near. But to me it seems quite clear that it's all just a little bit of history repeating.
Ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. You can join us in the chat room there if you've got any questions or insights, etc. And you can also ring in, and I would love to have some callers. You know, I've been away for 2 weeks. I mean, maybe somebody else wants to be talking about something. I don't know. 218-339-8525. It's probably not going to work. Nobody's going to call it. 218-339-8525. You want to welcome me back to the airwaves or something. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah. The Aotearoa not for sale protest. Mate, Cameron was some funny stuff. This is what I've noticed now about if you film me at a protest for like 45 minutes or something, mate, I come up with some real, real funny stuff, man. It's a good time to watch protests is when I'm doing it on the megaphone or something. Because you dig this. You automatically become funnier if you possess any kind of voice amplification device. Right? It's true. If you have a microphone, funnier. A megaphone, even funnier. All right? especially at protests where you're talking about serious stuff and then you're, you know, screaming out, John Key is a scumbag at the top of your lungs and what have you like that. People love that. You know, whole bunches of people up and down the protest, cracking up, rolling around, stuff like that, whilst at the meantime actually being informed about real issues that are going on, about John Key's history and things of that nature. And dig this. Is that kind of what my niche is? I was just thinking that. That's my niche now, is to go to the incredibly serious protests about serious stuff and tell people the real truth at the same time as packaging it as just some funny guy with a megaphone. Nice little back door slipping in there, I think. Captive audience, a protest, a whole bunch of people who are willing to listen to the facts of the matters of international banking cartel scumbaggery, etc., seeing as Goldman Sachs is buying out all our assets. Doesn't that sound pretty reasonable? And, you know, and sure enough, everybody else's, well, this happens all the time anyway, but everybody else's YouTube video that they did of the protest has gotten relatively minimal hits compared to mine. Okay, people want to be entertained. And I think that's what a fellow radio show host, Mike Chambers, said to me once on this show, is that after years and years of hosting the radio shows, you're all just listening to be entertained, aren't you? Aren't you? Sure. You're being entertained in a way that's not mindless and it's a lot highbrow. But how many actually put the evidence and opinions and things that they hear on radio shows like this into practice? How do you put it into practice is what I'd like to know. So let's go to, oh, we had a little bit of a problem here with the caller line, but I think it might be fixed now. We're going to hear from Jim in Brooklyn. Jimmy, are you there?
Hey, Vim, welcome back, man.
Thanks, bro. How you been?
I've been good, man. I've been good. Did you get to, like, you know, mellow out a little bit over your holiday? There and back again and whatnot?
Well, you know, it was funny, man. I was watching a lot of pirated movies, of course. And I basically watched so many movies, bro. It's just unbelievable how much movies are out there. And what was funny is that it didn't matter what movie studio it was produced in or what decade it was made in or what genre the film was or who the director or the producer was. Every single one of these movies, I think it must have been at least 45 of them, had either a Masonic floor in it somewhere or a pyramid with an all-seeing eye in it somewhere.
The pyramid with the all-seeing eye, I mean, that one jumps out. You know what? My roommate was watching a Fish concert on YouTube, right? And he's watching Fish, and he would always tell me, like, you know, I mean, dude, you don't understand. You got to see the light show. So I'm watching, right? And I'm watching the lights, and all of a sudden, there's the all-seeing eye in the Fish lights.
Oh my god! Hey, and that also reminds me. You will love this, bro. You know how when they have big sporting events and stuff like that, and they have lights on the top of the big high-rise buildings, and they all do a big light show sort of thing, big spotlights.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Dig this, man. Rugby World Cup 2011, Auckland, New Zealand. Okay, biggest city in the country. They have in total, I think, 8 lights over different high-rises across the front of the city. Okay, right on the waterfront. After they finish their big light display and $100,000 worth of fireworks, all the lights go up in perpendicular angles. And I was watching it from across the water, and it had the exact angles for all the light beams to shoot upwards and across in the exact shape of the Masonic compass and square. And I have the footage.
That's some tricky. You know what? You got to hand it to the lighting guy. That's hard.
I'm not seeing something that's not there. I didn't make it up. I was watching it and filming it. The fact is that I know what I'm looking at, as opposed to most people who have no idea.
Well, that's like when you're aware of certain concepts, and then you watch a movie that you've, you know, you watch a movie and you watch it with your friends, and you're going nuts because you're seeing all these things and all these concepts come out, and they're clear as day to you, but the guy sitting next to you has no clue.
No clue. And do you, you know what kind of a pressure does that put on you as a person? Do you think, Jim, if you're the person sitting on the couch out of three people and you're the one in the know, is there now pressure on you to actually try and bring the other two people around you up, or is the onus on them to educate themselves? That's not your.
Well, you know, I think a lot of it. People can only wake up if they want to. You know, they can only, it's like you can't help somebody that doesn't want to be helped. You know, it's kind of like that, I think. You know, because a lot of times you'll try to, it doesn't matter how nice you are about it, you'll try to wake somebody up or you'll try to, like, give them a little information, and they just don't believe you. Even when you point, like I was showing somebody, I was like, look, I could prove to you that your name in all caps is a business. And he goes, well, how are you going to do that? I said, well, look, here's the information on getting a contractor's license. And it says here you need a business certificate unless you're operating under your own name. Now, why is that? Because your own name is actually a business, and you keep looking through these little things in like the paperwork, and it all comes out, but nobody believes you. You know, it doesn't matter how often you show it to them. It doesn't, all sorts of stuff like that. Especially when you're watching movies, though. Like, people will look at me like, you think everything is like that? I'm like, it is?
Well, I think it's kind of like gardening, you know. Like, with gardening, there's so much ongoing work that you have to do. Either one of those things, if you just did them by themselves, your garden would still be crappy and whatever. But if you do a whole bunch of different practices together, your crops will grow bigger and bear more fruit, etc., right? And I think the same is true for concepts, James, is that if you want to plant a seed with somebody, plant a seed. And then after you plant a seed, you make sure that you have to fertilize it and water it, and then, of course, you've got to make sure that you keep watering it from time to time when it needs it, that kind of thing, that sort of practice. That's something that will wake people up, because maybe we live in a very impatient society now, and we want everybody to wake up now, right now, so we can take the new world order out now, right now. And you know what happens to everybody who wants everything to happen right now? They quickly realize that everything can't happen right now and get depressed about it, as opposed to the person who thinks, you know, everything will happen eventually, and eventually it does, and they feel great.
I think you're right about that. I think the computer age, the instant communication of the computer age, and just the way you're instantly able to get, like, a movie online or a song or a book or anything like that, you could instantly just go to eBay and order whatever you want. And I think that carries over into so much of everybody's lives that they think that everything is like that, and people don't understand, you know, sometimes you have to wait.
Yeah.
And I find that more and more in the business world, and like when you're on a job site and stuff like that, it's like you know you're doing, like, you know, stuff that's kind of hard to do and takes a little bit of skill, and, you know, things have to be done a certain way, and then somebody comes along and rushes you, doesn't let you do things the way you would plan to do it, then everything gets all messed up, and then you're there the next day repairing everything, and you turn around and tell them, like, look, if you just would have let me do things my way, this all would have been done already. So yeah, where did the rush get you? You know, haste makes waste.
We're in such a rush to go somewhere, when we start off, we're heading in the wrong direction.
Yeah, it's like when you rush out of the house in the morning, like, you know, you're late for something, and you rush out of the house. That's the time you leave your keys.
Yeah. That's exactly what I was about to say. Exactly what I was about to say. And it's been happening so many times. It's either somebody else's timepiece or somebody else who's with you who's trying to hurry you up. And in the essence of not taking your time and not doing things properly, you wind up wasting time by having to run back in the house or getting locked out of your car or not having that thing that you need at that particular time. Because basically, there's a time differential here. You know, there's whatever it is on your wrist that keeps you chugging all day long is your master.
Well, that I stopped wearing a wristwatch a long time ago, a long time ago, and I like wristwatches. I like them as like ornamentation. You know, when you dress up, you go out. You know, you look like a slob in work clothes all the time. Then you go out, you want to look nice. But yeah. I kept breaking them at work. Just like one after another, I would do like 10 in a row, and I was like, that's it. The universe is trying to tell me not to worry about time so much.
Yeah, and that's another thing. My perception of time, you know how a lot of people think about the future or whatever, and so they're waiting for their opportunities to show up, they're waiting for this or waiting for that, and it's like, well, hold on a second. At what point has time ever waited for me?
Oh, time and tide wait for no man.
So why should any man wait for time?
Exactly. Exactly. Now, by the same token, that doesn't mean being in a rush. You know, you kind of have to take your time in a hurry.
Well, in order to have time, okay, you have to take time sometimes.
Yes, I agree with that. You know what I do? I tend to work really hard, really crazy hours, lots of overtime, you know, emergency calls, that sort of thing. I'll do that for 3-4 years. Right, not really take a lot of time off. Then I stop for a year and a half, and I just slack out. I don't do anything. I concentrate on music. I concentrate, you know. I just killed myself for the last 5 years. You know, you're not getting any younger. Sometimes you gotta, have like Ferris Bueller's year off.
I think that really is something that we all need to comprehend, essentially, that the system is built so that if you want to have a good life, you will be forced to work harder than you should ever have to in order to have one. But if you don't want to live inside the system, you realize that all these trappings and all this other stuff that you need in order to have a quote-unquote good life basically are unnecessary, and you can survive perfectly well without it. The problem is we've all been indoctrinated into the system now, so we don't know how to live another life free of the system. Jim, final words before we go to break, man.
Oh, that's just like you have a lot of people. They live in the cities, and they want to, you know, because you make the big money in the city. But in the big money with the city is the big rent and the big gas bills and all that stuff, right? But then by the same token, you look at people who live just maybe 100 miles away out in the countryside. They buy their house for $7,000. They buy their land for another $10,000. And then they don't bother with anything because their main expense is paid for. And I find that those people tend to live better.
Yeah, exactly. You do tend to live better when you want to do something that makes you happy. And you don't live very well when you have to do something that makes you miserable. I think it's pretty straightforward and self-explanatory. Have you ever noticed that some of the most brilliant realizations are the ones that are so obvious that you wonder why the hell you didn't think of it in the first place? Thanks for your call, Jim. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. 218-339-8525.
Ladies and gentlemen, do me a favor. Smash the television and burn the newspaper. That shit will never tell you that the president's a traitor. What you want, but my evidence is greater. What you know about the Bilderberg and New World Order? What you know about the real fluoride in your water? What you know about the bleeding uranium in the mortar? What you know about AIPAC controlling the reporter? What's wrong with the world? People kill people that other people command. Middle East is a modern day attack on a native land. Project eugenics land on the common man. Expand the military.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Our final segment here, so if you want to get in on the action, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Call on in if you please. Now, talking about these protests that are going on, I know I'm kind of like rambling today. I'm just, you know, just gotten off the holiday. Give me a break. Now, give me a break after I just got back from holiday. I love that. Now, it's another thing. One of the commenters, I think it was Dan in the chat room there, he says, work smarter, not harder. And this is absolutely true. I mean, you have a look at what is being accomplished by mainstream media. Okay. They have got a massive apparatus, audience, facilities, lots of people working for them, and look what they achieve, brainwash masses, etc. Now, you consider the expense and the amount of staffing that they have and how many people actually really care about being there. And then you consider just me alone. I now have, I think maybe if I get 100 new subscribers to my YouTube channel, I will have more subscribers than the New Zealand Herald does, okay? The New Zealand Herald is the premier mainstream media news YouTube channel. Based off, of course, the New Zealand Herald website and newspaper, which is prestigious. And I'm almost got more subscribers than them. Almost. I'm that close. We're neck and neck. And they're the ones that brainwash everybody and tell them, like, virtually nothing of any real consequence. Okay, we're talking about, say, for example, weather reports. Okay, if you're going to be looking for information online or what have you, they'll be covering the sports events and things are basically of no consequence. So no wonder me by myself is getting more subscribers by them, because I'm just putting out videos every day. I'm putting out more videos than they are. I'm covering more topics, more in-depth, the hours longer and all of that kind of stuff. And they ain't got nothing really to throw back at me that's better, okay? This is basically what I've come to recognize, is that one person operating in good conscience and just instead of wanting to be educated and going off and paying fees to some educational institution so that they can brainwash you with knowledge that has no practical benefit or whatever, and instead just going out and doing it regardless of the consequence. Okay, get out there with your camera or stay at home with a microphone. If you want to be a radio show host or you want to be a filmmaker, just start doing it. Okay, there is immediate places for you to start. You're never going to get anything perfect. Okay, never going to get anything perfect, but you'll be surprised what you by yourself can accomplish. Okay, you don't need any other form of complicated stuff. If you have a video program that does the business, if you have a camera that works, then you've got enough. All right? It doesn't even have to be your computer. It doesn't even have to be your camera. You could borrow somebody else's. Just do something. Because that's how much of a difference you can make in terms of the media discourse in just New Zealand or any other country. If anybody comes out and starts doing any form of decent news coverage or whatever, that at least maybe compares with the quality of mainstream media, and you can fake all that, because if you're in front of a camera or whatever, there's infinite amounts of things you can do with your backgrounds and what have you. It's not that difficult. We have the power now. We have the technology now, and it would be a shame to not use it. Because it's made it so easy to do something that would normally cost millions of dollars, building facilities and hiring people and all this equipment and all of the training and programming and all of that kind of stuff, all can be done by one guy on his home computer without too much time having been passed or expense incurred. And I say, do it, because there's a hell of a lot of people out there who need your coverage. Okay, just being on a video, just being online is an achievement. Okay, well, this lady at young girl at a party once, I was there with my big camera or whatever, and she asked me, "What do you make your movies with?" And this is a couple of years back. I said, "Well, I make my movies with iMovie." And she says, "Oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about." And I go, "Okay, excuse me, how many videos have you made?" She goes, "Oh, well, I was part of the crew on like you know, two short films or something like that. So you've made none. No, I mean, by yourself, how many have you made? None. Okay. I've made over 300. So with all due respect, you don't know what you're talking about because I've got experience, because I don't sit around proselytizing for other people just in order to make myself feel better. I go around proselytizing for other people because they're worth proselytizing for, okay? I am the exact carbon copy opposite mirror image of the mainstream media. I am pulling on your heartstrings, manipulating you, and giving you all this information and propaganda. I like to think of myself as the bad guy, because if I think of myself as the good guy, then I'll wind up doing invariably real bad and evil things in the justified cause of doing the right thing. Okay, being responsible for the words of your voice and everything like that is a huge responsibility, which most people don't really have to have. And now I've inherited this responsibility because I took responsibility for the fact that the media doesn't do anything in this country. And there was nobody else going out there exposing them or talking about any of the stuff that of course, America has that capacity. You guys have a hell of a lot of different radio stations. You've actually got a choice. In New Zealand, there ain't no such choice. It simply does not exist. I am building the very first of its kind in this country. I'm providing the New Zealand perspective for my country single-handedly. That could not be accomplished without the generous support of the listenership, okay? People are always giving me stuff to help getting through the days better, T-shirts, food vouchers, fuel vouchers, pieces of equipment, donations, subscriptions, all of that stuff, man. Oh my goodness, it makes my job so much easier, so much less stressful, and I get a lot more done when I've got the right gear. And essentially, I've looked at it like this. If one of these mainstream media shills can make $1 million a year off of reading a teleprompter and shilling BS for a living, then surely I can at least pay my bills by giving the people whose opinions are alternative and matter and comprise mostly of the truth. I'm not 100% sure about everybody that comes on the show, but I'm just doing it anyway. Okay, if I can do that and at least survive without having to worry about where my next meal is coming from, I think that that's fair. I think that that's just. And I do think that people should be able to make an honest living out of honest labor. And this is, for me, anyway, the most important work of my life. Because, essentially, I'm trying to protect it. I'm trying to protect everybody, essentially. That is my attempt, is to give people the protective layer of media coverage. Because if you come out and you say something very damaging against the government and people ain't reporting it and blasting it all over YouTube and all over the airwaves and stuff like that, and then you go missing, nobody notices. The amount of people that I've had on this show that are now all over YouTube solely because of me, who had no search terms, you couldn't even find them before coming on my show. That's what I do for people. And that's what I love doing for people, because all of this platform and ability, all this equipment and everything that has been given to me is useless if it's just me, all right? I'm only one voice. There's 7 billion of them out there. A heck of a lot of them have a lot of experience in incredible things that people would never be able to imagine, okay? So basically, here's the deal. You give me a piece of equipment, you give me a subscription for $5 a month, and I can guarantee you, I will go out and I will find all these people that are censored from the mainstream media, and I will bring them onto the internet. I will bring them onto the airwaves. I will bring them onto video. This is what I do. And it's been working incredibly well, because how many people do you know who are activists who want to get the word out, who get offered the ability to be both on air, on YouTube, on audio archives, and on websites for free for a couple of hours? I don't think anybody's going to say no. Very few. except those who just basically think they're too good for it and don't need it. You know? But at the end of the day, there's a lot of people who come on here who have never had any experience whatsoever, and it provides them valuable experience, just like I was provided when other radio show hosts took me under their wing and invited me to co-host their shows with them and things of that nature, okay? It all helps to inspire. It all helps people to get exposure. And if you give everybody exposure and expose yourself to the concepts of everybody, you get that very, very important thing called perspective. And seeing things from the way other people view them is so important if you want to gain any form of real perspective. So thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for listening and sharing the shows and keeping on, keeping on. And if you can, please financially support the show so I can keep doing this very, very important and good work, apparently, allegedly. Go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com, and there's a little donate button there, as well as a subscribe button if you want to donate $5, $10, or even $20 a month, just to keep me paying the bills and keeping on doing the good work. Fastest 2 hours in talk radio, folks. We'll see you again sometime at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.